Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. And we've been really spending some time talking about practical Christianity in general. And when we're talking about our particular approach, what we really want to come away with basically is two things. God loves you. And as far as he's concerned, that's all that matters. You are part of him. You have been fully accepted into him. You're part of his family. That's it. He is committed to bringing you into a oneness. And to that end, our life here, point number two, there are things that you can join him in doing. And that it's not based on guessing. So many times we're told you just have to have faith. Well, really, what that often comes down to is they don't have a better answer. How do you know God? Well, they say you just have to believe. You just have to have faith that if you said the right prayer, then everything's great. But we need to know that he loves us, and we need to know how we're doing, and we need to hear those things from him. And that's why we talk about Christianity, a relationship with God, being practical. Now, as we get into these things, a lot of it's going to sound really familiar. And there are some things that have been practiced by Christians ever since they were Christians for 2,000 some years. And they are tried and true. And the thing is sometimes they're really very simple, but they're not easy. And we sometimes want something harder to do, because the simple, because it's not easy, we'd rather do something that is under our control. Remember, your soul, which is your mind, will, and your emotions, has been doing things its own way for most of your life. And for many of us, we continue way past when our soul should have come under God. We continue our bad habits. But God, rather than just coming in and stripping us of those bad habits, lovingly, over time, lets those habits fail. Now, as those habits fail to provide what they used to provide, filling our needs for love, for acceptance, for value, for significance, for direction, for hope. When those habits fail, God is always there, but he is especially there and wants to catch us as we fall. But there's a simplicity in knowing him that easily distracted from. When someone becomes a Christian, we give them a list of things they need to start doing, as if what they do changes who they are. They have to start going to church. They have to start tithing. They have to start getting rid of their old friends, getting new friends, fellowshipping, saying the right things, joining the right groups, singing the right songs, dressing the right way, our relationship with God. Now, very often over time, God may deal with us about who we're hanging around with, what we're doing with our time, how we're presenting ourselves, what we're doing with our lives. But that comes from God, not from others. And I think we've seen in Western culture altogether, not just America, but throughout the world, Western civilization, a real turning from religion, from the church. We've seen that our needs aren't being met by behaving and doing the right things. And we aren't being taught how to know God. And how to apply what we are hearing to our lives in practical ways. This is why practical Christianity does what you believe work. When God says he loves you and wants to free you and heal you and bring your soul into submission so it can finally be free, can finally rest and be what God created it to be, and so that your body follows, and your body as well releases its bad habits, and your lifestyle lines up with being a son of God, being one with God. Now, there are consequences to joining with God, both negative and positive, but he will have you ready. If we develop those new habits, those practical habits of turning to him first. And the first thing we do is start spending time with him. And the more time you spend with him, the better. And that's always a big question. I'm here, I want to make up lost time. Don't worry about that. But going forward, here are things you can do. And they're not spiritual. Some of them are not even supernatural or soulical. Some of them are just very natural. How are you spending your time? So many of us are much more concerned about what other people are doing or what other people think about us. And just by pushing that to the side and saying, okay, this is my responsibility, how I spend my time, to me, am I spending it the right way? And when we realize that the more time we spend with God, we put our soul into his hands. He sharpens our hearing. He refines our eyesight, both natural and soulical. He sharpens your senses so that you can sense him, hear him, see him, but also what's going on in the soulical and even truly in the natural. The road he has for you is unique. You can learn from one another, and there'll be times to share with one another. But your main trust and stability and sustenance comes directly from him. So the practical things you can give to God are your time and attention. To do that, that's what's the difficult part. We like to compartmentalize. That if we're a good Christian, we categorize, okay, to be a good Christian with my family, all I need to do this, 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 and this. To be a good Christian in my community, I attend church, I reach out to the poor, I give to these outreach missions, and I work at the soup kitchen. I volunteer at the soup kitchen. To be a good part of my family, I'm a good spouse, I'm a good parent, I have good relationships with my neighbors. To be a good employee, I don't steal, I show up on time, I'm diligent in what I do. On and on and on. We have a list of things we think this is what a good Christian does in this category. But God doesn't categorize things like that. He doesn't compartmentalize our lives. Because in Him, we are one. We are a single being. And in any of those situations, God wants to exercise His sovereignty. No longer you deciding, okay, this is what it looks like to be a good parent or a good spouse. He will teach you His ways, but He wants you to ask Him first. And we won't get too distracted in those areas, but just as an example, so many of us have this idea about what a good Christian marriage is and this whole submission thing. And this is what the head of the house does, and this is what the non-head of the house does, and this is how they interact. And this somehow honors God. When He says, no, I put you together because you are different. And you're different from anybody else. And I want you to work this out yourselves. With me. This is an experiment, not an assignment. And the opportunities are there for each person. In any situation, the first choice is, Lord, what's going on here? And for parents to teach their children to go first, Lord, what's going on here? Are you trying to say something? What am I missing here? Why do I feel this way? Why am I feeling left out? Why am I feeling overwhelmed, whatever situations He puts us in, He wants us to ask Him, why did you put me in this situation? It's always about us and Him as individuals in a practical sense. Now that's, again, without getting too deep into that kind of, that's just an example. Because we want to walk through each day being able to sense His interruption, His presence, where we know how to respond, because you never know when He's going to want your attention. There's going to be times when you can't give Him your attention. How do you handle that? You never know what opportunities He's going to entrust to you in any given time. And you'll want to be able to rise to that occasion. And you can. He will have you ready if you are available. If you're available today, He will take advantage of that tomorrow. Now, for some of us, we have way too much on our plate. But I just say, He gave each one of us, we each have the same amount of time, and we have authority over all of it. So don't worry about how much time you have. He knows how much time you have. If you're running a business, you have 6 kids at home, and they're all under 4, and you got health issues, and tons of stuff on your time, and another person over here is retired, has nothing going on, they have tons of time on their hands, guess what? God doesn't care. Your spirit doesn't care. Your spirit has eternity. Time is not the factor. It's what are you doing with the time you do have? The 5 minutes in the car going to the grocery store. The 2 minutes before everybody wakes up in the morning. Are you turning first to Him and letting Him fill every nook and cranny of your being? And then every time throughout the day you have that pause, letting Him draw your attention to Him, responding, constantly turning. That we do, whether we have tons to do, things going on during our day, or we have all the time in the world, because we all have eternity. We do have all the time in the world, and then some, in every world. When we start to put our activities in perspective, we can start putting our relationships with our relationship with Him in perspective. That it's not about what we do with our time. It's who we turn to with our time. Also, how we give what we put our attention to. It's not just spending time with Him, but attending to Him. It's not just waiting with Him, but for Him and on Him. And these are all things He teaches us by being in His presence. Your spirit already knows what needs to be done. Your spirit's already doing it. It's your soul. It's my soul that's the problem. And God knew and knows exactly the habits your soul has developed. And He has a plan that your spirit has already signed off on what He was going to do in your life. He will have you ready for tomorrow. He wants us to know where He's taking us. He wants us to have personal goals worked out between us and Him. And He wants us to know when we've achieved them. He also wants to know what, He also wants us to know what our limitations are and abide by them until He changes them. In other words, we want to be realistic about where we are at any given time. And He also wants to be realistic about His expectations for us. God has purposed for someone else. What He has purposed for someone else has nothing to do with what He may have set aside for you to do. So we don't have to be concerned if we're different, if we're setting up different goals than everybody else we know. You can still be of that same spirit. You can be like-minded and have totally different goals. And even sharing and encouraging one another and have totally different goals. Christianity is clear and specific for each of us as individuals at a particular time and place. Now, what we run into when we start this peculiar freedom, and it is, it's a freedom from being at the mercy of time. And how you spend your time is often the target of religious manipulation. And when you start experiencing freedom from that, a lot of times those who have been able to control you in the past regarding how you spend your time are not going to be happy. And so you'll want to find ways of recognizing what you're hearing. And God, again, will sharpen your ear to go, okay, there's something wrong there. Now, sometimes that's all you need to know. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like God. That doesn't sound like God assigning this assignment to me. This sounds like guilt or manipulation or something that's not right. And sometimes that's all you need. But sometimes he'll explain to you, nope, that's an unrealistic expectation because there's no boundaries to it. It's merely playing on your emotion or your guilt or your temperament. Sometimes he will want us to learn to recognize how that's working for ourselves or for to be able to share that with others. We could say they become like red flags for ourselves, or just being able to recognize that person is what he is teaching is giving me red flags. What is the substance of what he's teaching? Or is it just to get a reaction or a response? Here's some ideas. Here's some examples. Say it's a vague teaching. You need more faith. Or just be in the will of God and you'll never be in the dark. And you'll always be blessed. Nothing will ever, if you're in the middle of the will of God, everything will always go right for you. Well, it all depends on what you mean by everything go right. I mean, Jesus was right in the will of God and he was crucified. And we can go on and on throughout examples, but that's just way too vague. So if they aren't giving specifics, what are they trying to do? Are they just trying to get you to respond out of your emotion rather than respecting you enough to give you options to make your own decision and choice? What if it's an unending? You're just not trying hard enough. That's a big catch-all. If you were just trying hard enough, you'd overcome that addiction. Or you'd be able to put your marriage back together. Or if you were just trying harder, you wouldn't have lost that job. You fill in the blank. We've all run into that. Then there's the religious red flag. And this is very often just in religious terminology that everybody gets to define for themselves. This is a way very often those who have been through seminar get to separate themselves. And they're taught this. They are taught to use language to separate themselves from those they are ministering to be above. And they're told to do that to keep them from getting emotionally involved because they would be drained and personally responsible, and they'd never be able to meet the needs of the people. Now, the problem is they were never meant to meet the emotional needs of the people, and so do we need somebody in that position to do that? But that's for another day. But religious terminology. Pursue your sanctification with righteous justification, and humility and wisdom will be yours with the fear of the Lord. We shouldn't have to learn a whole new language to live the Christian life. New Christian becomes a Christian. They're sent to the church, and you have to start learning a whole other language. I think we have not done a great job of being real. Another red flag is when the burden of the doing, the changing, is on the individual. Like you can't steer a parked car. Well, there are so many caveats to that. Or God is waiting for you to tithe before he can move on your behalf. In other words, if things aren't going well, it's because you've done something wrong. Rather than, well, when you asked the Lord, what did he say? Another red flag is when we're depending on something that can't be changed, like our age, our gender, or our nationality. One thing that always bugs me is God is doing something special with the youth. I wonder why that's used so often. I think it's because the youth generally have a lot of energy, are willing to volunteer, and they don't have good judgment. And so they're the easiest group to manipulate. And like I said, they'll volunteer, they'll work for nothing. But the older you get, you're no longer targeted because you've developed a bit of judgment. And maybe say no. But just the whole concept of this is something God is doing among men, or this is something God is doing in the women's groups, or this is for the youth, or for the older, or for the retired. Those are all things that we can't control. And so does God say, no, you can't be a part of what I'm doing over here because you're the wrong gender, or you're too old, or you're too young, or you're too rich, you're too poor? I don't think that's the way he does things at all, because I don't think he cares. He put you in the body you're in, so he's not holding it against you. We shouldn't hold it against ourselves or each other either. Another red flag is when we're motivated, or to be motivated, by idolatry of the will. When we say, if we really wanted to, if you really wanted to, you could accomplish great things for God. If you really wanted to serve him, if you really wanted to fulfill the calling of God that had on your life, that God has placed on your life, you could. When you receive a prophetic word, or when you have a dream, or have a desire, or you go to your church and there's a, you know, great, you really feel called to the mission field. If you really wanted to, you'd just sell everything you had and give it all away and go on the mission field. Instead, why aren't we taught, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Is this something you want me to look into? If it's rigid, for instance, only those who speak in tongues are truly baptized by the Holy Spirit. When we're told there's only one way to serve God, practical Christianity is unique and flexible for each person. I'd say it's nearly impossible to tell if someone's a Christian or not based on their behavior. This is one of the problems with, we've talked before, so many times about tithing and about going to church. You don't have to be a Christian to do either one of those. And yet, those are standards we use as, okay, if you're a good Christian, this is what you do. So we will pick it up there, talking about some more red flags next week at the same time. If you have any questions or feedback, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org, or you can use the contact form on the site or through Blog Talk Radio. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be picking it up here again next week. Until then, thanks for tuning in. This is Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.